Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by you, the fan. Fans, we got the Saints Drunk History. I recorded it with the Bird Rights, Preston Ellis. It's on Jim Everett and the end of the Moore years. It is a total mess and disaster because I was shit-faced and I could barely run the equipment. Preston had to step in and do the recording for me. That's how bad it was. It's a rambling disaster. Some people like it messy. Some people like it nice and clean and organized. It is not clean and organized.
No one likes it messy.
Nobody likes it clean and organized.
When it comes to our podcasts, no one likes shitty sound.
No, it wasn't shitty sound. Just Preston had to run it because I had issues. The sound is perfect. It was kind of a rambling mess. It went from Jim Everett to the decline of Jim Mora to Mario Bates getting punched in the face. It's all over the place. But if you enjoy the end of the Mora years and you want to learn more about them, you'll find it very informative. And I butcher Preston's poor name in a way that I should be sent to Gitmo. So we're doing the podcast. We're 2 weeks away from the draft. To start the podcast off, I got some new graphics. I paid tens of dollars for new graphics for the website, and I put on a poll today, is our new graphics worse than cancer? And 70% of you people said yes, our new graphics are worse than cancer.
Yeah, but the comments were...
The comments were bad. Hilarious. People said they look like diapers. What is that mold on the lettering?
Who was it? Was it Todd Newberg?
Yeah. Did you?
Are we in the trust tree here?
Are we in the trust tree?
Can we be honest here for a second? And Ralph's like, yeah, give it to me. It fucking sucks. It's terrible.
Did you let your son do the graphics? Yeah. I especially like the one that said that the letters look like diapers.
It was the color that looked like something you would find in a diaper.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is what people don't realize is that this is after at least two edits. I mean, you presented this to Andrew and I, and you know, a week ago, and Andrew gave a very thorough and detailed list of what he thought should be changed about it, and most of those or all of those changes were made, and it's still...
Can we agree that two rounds ago it was even more unacceptable?
Well, that's the thing. I just want people to know that I was not alone in this. I didn't go off on a thing and just drop it in there. Like, it was collaborative.
No, you kind of did, actually.
No, you were alone. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You were alone because Andrew was like, this isn't very good, and I even went so far as to come up with a new one, and then you just fucking ran with it anyway.
Well, I mean, we're working on yours. Yours is going to be better. The thing is, like, we had to get the ones that were done by Sir Gumbo, which are nice, but we had to get them down because they had the Saints logo on them, and I feel like we may be getting the letters. We were on the verge of maybe not getting the letter to take it down because we were using the Saints logo, so it had to come down. So, like, this is just a placeholder. Dave's going to work on the graphics. I just want to let people know that it wasn't all me. Like, we collaborated, and it was still terrible. Although, I'll take the lion's share of the blame. But I like our listeners being honest that they are worse than cancer. So, there. So, Andrew, we have actual football news. The Saints... I've never been more excited in my entire life for a 60-catch receiver that has one leg. The Saints got Cameron Meredith. We were pumped about it.
We didn't think it was going to happen.
I thought it was. I did.
Andrew and I did.
So, Andrew, you're pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I am surprised. I thought the Bears would match. I mean, I thought there was some hope in that the Bears had signed a few guys. And I think at the end of the day, the one thing that really helped the Saints was that the Bears invested in Allen Robinson, who is coming off the same issue. And so he tore his ACL last year. And Meredith, I think he had an ACL and an MCL, so his injury is a little bit more serious.
You can't have $20 million guaranteed to two wide receivers with busted up knees.
Yeah, you can't be investing into two broken guys at the same position. I think it was smart. I think it was smart for the Saints to go after him. Now, his injury is significant. So, you know, it's a big risk, but I think the upside is huge. And, you know, the investment isn't so much. Like, it's really
it's
like
that
if he's awful and they have to cut him next year, it's not that big of a deal.
It's 1% of the fucking cap. That is my thing about these NFL writers saying it was so risky and it's the Saints could do something and this might preclude them from doing something in the draft. And why are they spending money on this injured player and blah, blah, blah. It's fucking.
Wait, hold on. What would it preclude them from doing in the draft?
Because if they invested, if they gave Cameron Meredith $4.6 million, why would you pay about the same for a draft pick if you just signed Meredith? Like that was the thought process from Chris Wessling, I think, from NFL.com.
That's the most brain dead argument.
No, I mean, they can still do whatever they fuck they want on at wide
receiver.
It
precludes them from doing nothing in the draft.
I mean, Dave, do you think that Cameron Meredith, do you still think it's likely that they pick a wide receiver / tight end in the draft early with one of the two first two picks?
I think it's very likely they'll pick a tight end, more so a tight end than a wide receiver. But no, I don't think that signing Cameron Meredith just, you know, oh, the Saints are locked down now at wide receiver. That's it. they're good to go.
Yeah, I mean, I
best,
just think
best wide receiving core in the league.
But I will say this. I like this move a lot. Because I'm very confident that Ryan Pace made the wrong decision. Whatever he'd have done would have been wrong. Like if he'd have kept Meredith, he would have not healed up, and they would have had to cut him next year. If he lets him leave to the Saints, he's going to catch 85 balls. Like, I'm very confident, Andrew, that Ryan Pace is going to make the wrong decision because he's terrible at his job. And that's my theory. It's based strictly on that. Is that solid reasoning or no? Are you people laughing at me or are you nodding your heads?
I'm nodding. I'm with you.
So, Dave, Willie Snead is still hanging out. He's going to work out. He's at the facility doing all this stuff. Does Willie Snead have a future with the Saints?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he does. Okay. Yeah, I think he does. So what, he's hasn't been tendered? He's got no contract.
He hasn't signed it.
He's got the tender.
He hadn't signed it, but he like signed the waiver or whatever, so he can go and do off season stuff, right? Is that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's a foregone conclusion he'll be signing.
Andrew, you think that?
Do I think Snead's coming back? Yeah. I think it's a foregone conclusion. I mean, I think his one shot was maybe the Ravens, where they worked him out, and you know, did the Ravens end up signing a receiver? Didn't they sign Crabtree?
Yeah, they did.
So I think they were poking around, but they were just like, yeah, you know, we want to see who else is available and we might make you an offer. And
they tried to get Meredith, too.
I mean, you got to remember, the Saints are offering him, what, like 1 year, $2 million, right? That's the tender.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, I don't think the Ravens are going to offer him more than that. Although maybe now that the Saints have signed Meredith, I mean, it's not over, so they could still make an offer to Snead, and you know, him going to work out with the Saints maybe lets other teams know that he's close to just signing the tender, and so if they want to make an offer sheet, that puts a little pressure on them. But I expect him to be back and sign it. I just, his year was so bad. I just don't think I don't think anyone would sign him to anything more than a prove it deal right now.
Dave, I know it's a really early prediction, but Willie Snead on the roster opening week?
Yeah, barring any injury, I think worst case scenario, I'd say he's your fourth guy or your fifth guy, I guess.
Andrew, because they still have a lot of slots they need to fill at wide receiver.
I'm going to say something crazy here. I think Snead is kind of a dark horse prediction here. I think Snead is going to come to camp. I mean, he's healthy, so I think he's going to come to camp focused. I think he's going to be pissed off at how his year was. And I think he's going to come out of the gate and just have an awesome camp and really turn some heads. And, you know, Ginn's getting a little bit older, and Meredith, I still think Meredith could be good for the Saints, but I think it might take a little while because he's coming back from his knee. So
yeah,
I could see early in the season Snead kind of being the number two receiver.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing is, Ted Ginn, there is a high probability. There's one of three things that can happen with Ginn. He can repeat last year, his best year ever. He can get old and deteriorate very quickly, or he can go back to being Ted Ginn. And two of the three are bad. You know, like, and look, if he goes back to being Ted Ginn, it won't be terrible, because Ted Ginn is...
That's not that bad. I would take that.
It's not bad, but he was fucking awesome last year, and especially in the playoffs, man.
Well, if he wasn't Ted Ginn last year, then what would you call him?
That was the Ted Ginn that the Dolphins thought they were drafting like a dozen years ago.
Yeah. Well, I don't disagree with you. I just want to, I want you to call it a name.
Yeah. That was the we picked him 10th, or we picked him 8th. He's going to be a franchise wide receiver, Ted Ginn.
Right. Yeah. Know? So I think this is a huge opportunity for Snead, because I still think while they, you know, Ben Watson is back, and, you know, he's going to catch some balls, and Kamara, you know, is going to step up and have maybe more involvement in the offense this year. And you got Meredith and you got Ginn there. But I think early in the season, as Meredith's kind of coming back from his injury, they might draft a guy, and maybe, you know, he takes a little while to acclimate to the offense. So there's a window there for Snead in the first quarter of the season to reestablish himself. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, he has got to be just like knowing how. I mean, he flushed at least, if he'd have caught 80 balls last year, like if he'd have repeated 2016 last year, he might have not signed with the Saints, because the Saints might have not wanted to pay him. But he'd have got at least 4 years, like $24 million, like $10 million guaranteed, like easy. So he flushed it a good $10 million down the toilet. With his DUI and his shitty season. Speaking of wide receivers, Dave, the Saints, according to Ian Rappaport, are one of the teams interested in Dez Bryant. How do you feel?
Oh, really? When did that come out? I missed
that. That was a tweet.
Was that while I was playing tennis?
I guess it was, yeah. It was a tweet and a little...
How many other teams are interested?
Baltimore. There was like four. It was the Saints, Baltimore... And I forget who else, but it was.
Did you know this, Dave?
Yeah.
No, I don't pay as close attention as you and Ralph do, but no. Not on Twitter all day, every day. I mean, I'm thinking about calling your employers and calling HR.
Yeah. The Ravens. Yeah,
you know, my employer is going to tell you to look at my booking numbers, and
That's what they'll tell me too. They said Ralph hit his web numbers again.
Yeah.
Growing the Instagram.
As far as they're concerned, I can be on Twitter all day long.
Okay, but you see, that's not the way your boss is going to look at it. Your boss is going to look at it, hey, if you can do that while you're on your phone, just imagine how fucking great you could be if you got off your goddamn phone.
Hey, man, I need some stress relief.
Exactly. It's not like he's on Pornhub or something, Dave. It's Twitter. I mean, come on.
It doesn't matter. It's time theft.
Wait, who said I'm not on Pornhub?
What's Pornhub?
Get the fuck out of here, Dave. What's Pornhub? No, the Ravens are the team most interested in Dez Bryant. He was born to not catch passes from Joe Flacco. It's Dez Bryant, I tell you.
That's his destiny.
Ooh.
I mean... On a scale of 1 to 10 odds the Saints sign Dez Bryant, Andrew.
You know what it is. This is exact. I mean, I haven't seen the report, but I mean, obviously I believe you. But I think that I could be wrong, but I just think this is going to be a Muhammad Wilkerson type thing where it's just like, yeah, we'll take you, Dez. We're interested for like 1 year, $3 million.
Not even that. Like, I think he gets
Loomis will throw out like a, you know, kind of like a just token offer out there. And he'll sign with the Ravens, who will give him twice the money.
maybe three times the money. Yeah. They love old receivers.
I think this is another one of those Loomis low ball. Take it if you want. We hope we get you. We're not paying a dollar more.
I don't even
really,
I mean,
really showing him the love.
Yeah. So Dave, the Saints, with free agency with Meredith, it's kind of wrapped up pretty much. I mean, unless Dez Bryant, but I think it's fair to say like the Saints have wrapped up free agency and they're not going to do anything more big or interesting. So now that it's pretty much done, how do we feel about it? Now that Cameron Meredith is in the barn and it's pretty much done and we're waiting on the draft, how do you feel about the Saints free agency?
I don't really feel any better or worse than, you know, we last evaluated the Saints free agency and gave our feelings on it. I mean, I think it's fine. I'm okay with not, you know, signing some big names and, you know, not making the big splash signings. That's okay. That's not necessarily how you build a Super Bowl winning team. It seems like they're just continuing to add depth, which I like. And again, like we've always been saying, it seems like the Saints have been really good at showing restraint as far as contracts and not overpaying and saying, hey, look, these are our terms. And you know, like Andrew just said, this is what we're willing to do. And we're not really going to be willing to do more than that.
Andrew, did
I mean, it's kind of what they've done with a lot of guys this offseason.
Yeah.
Oh, Jimmy Graham.
Freeze. Hell, they kind of did it. They you know, played Russian roulette kind of with Breeze and was like, hey, take it or leave it, buddy. But Andrew, did the free agency, did the Meredith move kind of slide the grade up just a little bit? Not like from, you know, it didn't change it greatly, but did it bump it any for you?
Oh, the offseason?
Yeah.
Yeah, Meredith, definitely. Right? I mean, it's not even that like I know for sure that he's going to work out or that I think it makes the team substantially better, but I think it increases the margin for error. I mean, I think you still need to get a receiver. And it's kind of like Ben Watson. You still need to get a tight end, but at least you've got another guy in there that can compete and potentially help you the season. And if he doesn't, you know, you just have more margin for error and it's okay because you got other guys that can step up. So, you know, I kind of look at this as like Manti Te'o type signings. Like he didn't play earlier in the year. But we were really glad we had him.
Oh, my God, we weren't.
He was playing pretty well. I mean, you know, he wasn't like a world beater, but he was playing pretty well, and it was way better than like having to deal with Stephon Anthony out there.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not saying that Manti Te'o was responsible for the Saints making the playoffs, but a UDFA playing linebacker instead of Manti Te'o could have really fucking wrecked the season. And Meredith is a guy, he might come out, take a while, and then you're like, he's not doing anything, he's inactive a lot, the knee's kind of bugging, and then coming along, and then post-Thanksgiving, you're like, oh, he caught 5 balls today. He looks pretty good, you know? So
yep.
I like it. I think it moved their grade up to me for like a B+. I wanted him to sign bigger guys. I like him to spend money. I like him to be reckless. That's how I roll. But I like what they did. I mean, they got a bunch of guys. They filled a bunch of holes. And, you know, I think
the only –
a bunch of holes. Astros
must have done something well. But I the main thing for me is I just I can respect the Saints being frugal. I Jimmy Graham, it just would have been fun. And that's the part about this. I think both on the field, just because he would have made a major difference, but also just as a fan, like rooting interest wise, like to me, that's the real bummer of this off season.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you're exactly right. And it just, it, like we have the jerseys in the closet, they were ready to go, and I hope he does terrible in Green Bay and he regrets what he did. But they paid him a shitload of money, so it'll keep him warm. So the other interesting
thing. Wait, so did you see these tweets, these rumors about the crazy trade rumors?
I have not. We have what crazy trade rumors do we have?
Well, I mean, it was like 5 hours ago. It's not Saints. Well, it's, I don't know whether it's Saints specific or not. Yeah, Daniel Jeremiah was like some crazy trade rumors floating around today, and then Bucky Brooks retweeted it, and he was said, "Crazy rumors. If it happens, it's going to make Draft Nick's head spins. Draft Nick's head spin. It's bananas." Hashtag QB chasing. So could it be the Saints? Would the Saints do something crazy?
That's a great segue, Dave, because the thing I was going to talk about next is they had an article in The Advocate today that Sean Payton basically took a giant dump on the quarterback class and was like, they're all garbage except for Darnold. Andrew, is that fair? I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically...
No, I think he said they're all garbage, period. And if there's one that I could see maybe sticking around for four years,
it'd be Darnold.
It's Darnold, but I don't see anyone in this class that is like a Carson Wentz or Andrew Luck. So it's not like he said Darnold was great. He was just like the less shitty, basically. Was his
I mean, it was – the thing is, though, Andrew, when I read that, I talked to you and I was like, look, I think that is – Sean Payton being really honest, because if they draft a guy, then he has to come out at the press conference and be like, just kidding, buddy, and kind of talk it off. Or he's like, if they all work out in 5 years, he'd be like, you don't really know quarterbacks. But you flipped it around. I was like, no. This convinces you completely that Sean Payton is full of shit and they really want a quarterback. So explain your theory.
Well, I'm just thinking that he – and I could be completely wrong about this, obviously, but when Sean Payton says that, I start to wonder, is he angling for like what? Why would he has no real reason to put that out there. Like, I just feel like if Sean Payton's putting it out there, there is a purpose beyond just criticizing some players, you know, that there's a point to it. I just don't think, as much as he hates talking to the media, I don't think he's kind of like putting that out there just for, as a soundbite for people to talk about the draft. I think there's a purpose to it. And so that gets me thinking, and it gets me wondering, does he hope that some of these younger coaches will see that quote and think to themselves, maybe if they're on the fence, oh my God, Sean Payton, the most respected offensive mind, says all these guys are terrible. And if he thinks they're terrible, maybe I shouldn't draft them. And maybe that pushes them down. And then, you know, secondly, maybe it's no one really suspects the Saints want a quarterback, and then boom, blockbusters trade, and he hops in front of someone to get a QB when no one was expecting it. So, you know, it could be like he's baiting people into maybe going after a quarterback, or he's trying to push them down the hierarchy of the ladder. But I don't know. It makes me wonder if there's not a little smoke here.
Well, it's interesting because Eric Galco, who
a little smoke screen,
is a little smoke screen. Dave, what's your thought on it? Is it
on why he said that?
No, on why he said it, and does it? Is he lying? Is he telling the truth for once? Like, what is your take on it?
I mean, I'm kind of with Andrew. I mean, it's not really like Peyton to,
like, why would he put that
go out of his. Yeah, go out of his way to say these kind of things in that manner.
And blast.
I mean, unless he's like bench.
And even if he believed that, like, why would he hurt these kids' stock? You know?
Yeah. Interesting. I mean...
No, there could be something to it.
Well, absolutely. Because the thing is, late last week, like, the Lamar Jackson to the Saints thing really picked up momentum. And we're going to talk to Eric Galco, who's of Optimus Scouting, as our special podcast for the draft. We'll have it. We'll record it this week. It'll be online early next week or late this week. And he has been. He was. You know. Remember Andrew last year. He was like, remember Ramchek for the Saints. They like him. Remember that name. He said that when he interviewed him. So he's kind of plugged into the Saints. And he was like, man, yeah. Lamar Jackson to the Saints. He's just like, I'm just hearing it. And he's a guy like, you know, Ramchek wasn't an obvious name for the Saints last year, and he called that. So like when he starts talking about Lamar Jackson to the Saints, I listen, and we'll get some more out of him. But
well hold on. So yeah, and it'll be great to have him on the show again. But I just think, you know, the more I think about this, if Sean Payton truly hated these quarterbacks, wouldn't he keep his mouth shut? Wouldn't he want teams to pick him?
Yes.
Pick them? Wouldn't he want all five to go in the top 15?
Yes, he would be. You'd pump them up. That's a great point, Andrew. Like if he really hated them, he'd be like, I love them all. Like I think yeah. Josh like, Allen. Yes,
he. If I'm Sean Payton and I hated these quarterbacks, the first thing I'd be saying in the media is, I really believe like we might have a draft class where five QBs could be, you know, in the league 10 years from now. Now, you don't want to be so ridiculous that like people bring up the quote, you know, 5 years from now and point out what an idiot you were. But I don't know, man. He'd keep his mouth shut if he truly wanted these guys picked.
Yeah, but as long as he's not Beano Cook saying he's going to win two Heismans or they're going to be five Hall of Famers. I mean, he could have just flipped the quote around today and say, hey, I think you're going to have three or four guys that are going to be in the league being starting quarterbacks in 5 years.
You know, here's the other thing. He said that he wasn't envious of teams picking early because it's, you know, there's a lot of stress and pressure to get the next best quarterback. And he said that he didn't feel great about picking these quarterbacks in the top 10. Nothing was mentioned about picking these guys at 27.
Dave, he changed my mind. Andrew, you did it. You changed my mind.
Nice.
so Dave, as you
very nice.
If only my wife was so easy.
My
to
wife.
Negotiate
very
with.
Nice.
So Dave, did this make you think that it's more likely the Saints are picking a quarterback at 27. Less likely has.
Hello.
Yeah, Dave, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. No, you dropped out there.
Sorry. So.
I don't know. I'm reading. I'm actually reading the actual
quote.
Yeah. Well, it's more than a quote. I mean, it's
a whole article. It's
a good paragraph or two. I don't know. I don't really. I'm really torn. I could go either way on this. Part of me just thinks he was just really shooting from the hip and being honest. And Peter King kind of, because this is from Monday Morning Quarterback with Peter King.
Yeah.
And part of me just feels like King is just, this was the angle King's taken. And he's kind of, not taking it out of context, but he's just presenting it in a way maybe that it wasn't necessarily intended. The original quote was intended just for a splashier headline and a splashier, you know, and a juicier article. So part of me feels that way. The other part of me feels that it could easily be, you know, be a conspiracy like we've just discussed. I gotta pick a side, though. I don't know. I don't think it means as much as we do.
The interesting thing that I don't have it, and it's something that I'm sure maybe the Nick Underhills or the beat writers, maybe they track it, maybe they don't. But I was listening to a podcast with Mike Lombardi, who I don't really like his take on things. But he made an interesting point about what NFL teams do is, you know, you can have 30 visits, right, Andrew? You can bring in 30 guys pre-draft. Is it 25 or 30?
30.
It's 30. And he says what NFL teams do is they track everybody's visits, right? And they have a board of everybody's visits of who they visit, and they track it over 3 or 4 years. And some teams just have people in for fucking visits to smoke screen or whatever. But he's like, Green Bay, when Ted Thompson was there, when he had people for visits, they had a high percentage of picking those guys. You know, and I wonder, like, the Saints, like, their percentage of dudes that visit to do they draft them? Because they had Lamar Jackson in a visit and they've had other guys. I just wonder what the percentage would be in the last, like, 5 years, because that could be an interesting piece of data that you could use to try to figure out if they like a quarterback or not. I'm sure that percentage isn't high, but if it's higher than other teams, that would be something interesting. I still think Lamar Jackson is interesting, but I just think it's low, and I just think there's going to be a team before 27 that's going to want him. You know, that's my That's my thought. And I know Pittsburgh, when he had his workout at Louisville, they had, like, everyone there. Like, Tomlin, the offensive coordinator, the general manager, like, everybody was there. So, I think he won't get there. So, before we get to our themed mock draft of all offense, Andrew, what do you think the odds are that the Saints take two offensive players with their first two picks?
What positions with the first two picks?
27 assuming, and 91.
Assuming no trades, which I don't know how good of an assumption that is, I would say I would expect to see a tight end for sure. Mm-hmm. And a quarterback. And no particular order.
Okay.
So maybe the quarterback first at 27 and tight end third round.
Dave, first offensive player, first two picks, you think, for the Saints? Odds?
Both of them being offense?
Yeah.
3-1.
Okay.
4-1.
All right, we're going to kick off this draft. In this draft, our theme, last week it was names I can't pronounce. This week it's all offense for the Saints. Is there a name at 27 that we want? Is there a name on offense, Andrew, that you would say the Saints would be interested in trading up for, or you would be interested in trading up for?
I mean, I'm not trading up for a quarterback.
Is there a wide receiver or a tight end that you?
There's no. I like Dallas Goedert a lot. I don't see again. Like, I don't know that I'm trading up for him. You know, yeah. I would wait for him to fall because I'm fine with Hayden Hurst if Goddard's gone, and I would even consider Gesicki, although I like him less of those three tight ends. And I'd be fine getting Mark Andrews in the third round. So, you know, this is a decent class at tight end, and I think you can get a pretty good player in the third round if you don't get one in the first round. I like Calvin Ridley, and if he's there at
he got picked at 22.
If he starts to drop, you know, into the 20s, then that starts to maybe be someone that you consider. So, but there's no one in this class that I think the Saints have to have. I mean, they're a playoff team and a pretty good roster right now, and I just, unfortunately, I don't see them getting into the top 10 picks. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
Okay, well, the top offensive guy left.
Who's the best pass rusher? See, that's the thing. Like, I don't think there's a pass rusher outside after the top 15 that they can realistically go up and get.
Well, here's the thing. Since we're doing an all offensive draft and you're at 27, the top offensive guy left, Dave, is Darius Geis. So I know, Dave, you'll be totally against LSU because you hate LSU with every fiber of your body. And the next guy is Anthony Miller from Memphis.
Good receiver. Yeah.
Could he? Where would he fit if they?
Well, who? Give me the top five offensive players right now. Are you doing the simulation right
yes.
now?
Yes. Ronald Jones, Darius Geis, Anthony Miller, DJ Moore.
Well, wait, I'm only allowed to take offensive players.
Yes,
right?
You're only. This is all
so give
offensive.
Me the top five offensive players.
Ronald Jones, USC running back. Never heard of him. Okay. Darius Geis, LSU. Anthony Miller, DJ Moore. We could do a trade. We could trade down if we so desire.
Who's the fifth best?
Let's see. The fifth best, James Washington, Oklahoma State. Or guard Austin Corbett, Nevada. If you're
well, who's, the
so,
best, who's the best?
That's so appealing.
What's that?
Who's the best tight end available?
The best tight end available: Gesicki, Goedert. You got them all. Hayden Hurst. They're really rated low on this draft.
All right, take Goddard. That's my pick.
He's rated 62 in this.
What about? Yeah, I don't care about your stupid rankings. What about? What about quarterbacks? Is Lamar Jackson still there?
No.
He's gone.
Josh
huh?
Allen is there. That's ridiculous.
Nah, I don't like him.
JT Barrett. So we're gonna go. You're gonna go tight end. You're gonna go. You're gonna go Goddard at 60. You'll go Goddard at 27.
I mean, DJ Moore is tempting. Is he the best receiver, or Anthony Miller?
Anthony Miller is the best receiver. Dave, what would you want? I would vote Anthony Miller.
Yeah, I would take the receiver.
Okay.
But you would take Anthony Miller over DJ Moore?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either anything about either of these two guys.
I just think DJ Moore is more – I mean, I know he's like a
good – would you say he's more DJ?
He's got good size. He's got good speed. I mean, he's like a 4
in the phone book.
Speed, and I just think character-wise, he's more of a Sean Payton guy.
All right, well, then we'll go DJ Moore.
Yeah.
Character guy. Okay, so we went DJ Moore. Do we want him, like, is there...
I just feel like Anthony Miller, like, he has ball security issues, and Sean Payton hates that.
That's going to... That poor ball security probably cost Brandon Coleman a job this year. The tight ends are all still there. Would you want to move to get Gesicki, Goddard, or Andrews, or Hayden Hurst? You might be able to get Hayden Hurst in the third round of this draft. But I mean, do we want to move?
No, let's see what's left, man. Let's roll the dice. Who do we get? We got DJ Moore.
We got DJ Moore.
It's a good pick.
Yeah. So, Dave, what are you thinking as this goes? You don't want to move either?
What? Move up?
Move up into the second round or wait till 91?
No.
You know, I think they, you know, if the tight ends go, you know, it could be a case of they need a running, I mean, an offensive lineman too, you know?
It's true.
Yeah. The
come on, Jeff Ireland is telling you to stay put.
I'm getting nervous though. The tight ends are gone. You got Mark Andrews and Ian Thomas. And
Sean, Sean, feed Mickey one of your Vikings and let's all chill out a little bit here.
They got Orca Afora from Western Michigan, the tackle still.
Yeah.
The guy that I can't pronounce. So we're on the clock now. So we got the tackle from Western Michigan. We got the center, Frank Ragnow. And we got.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
I mean, you know, Max Unger, he's not getting any younger. But we have Hayden Hurst there. That's your boy. That's your boy. And he's probably not.
Do you even need to ask me?
Dave, Hayden Hurst?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
We're
gonna have to pick up an alignment later, though.
Is that realistic, Andrew? That Hayden Hurst would be there in round three?
The only way he would drop that far is his age. Like that's the. I mean, if he were younger, I mean, based on his skills and his production and his combine and all that stuff, he's a late first, early second for sure. So yeah, I mean, I think you throw the age factor in, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. I think the age factors into it, but I think once teams rate him and factor him in, like if he's rated number 45 on a team's board, they're not gonna not take him because of his age. Like they already.
The thing is, I could see him dropping to the third round, but I don't think he's gonna go all the way down to the Saints pick. You know what I'm saying? Like I could see third round, but then he'll be like the third player chosen in the third round.
All right, so we're on the clock again. And here's the problem is they got Cedric Wilson from Boise State is the best offensive player left. Kyle Laletta from Richmond as a quarterback. I watched a little bit of him on YouTube today. He's interesting.
The Saints worked him out.
And then running back John, they're not picking a running back. I don't think there.
Why are you watching YouTube video? Is this at work again? Why are you watching YouTube videos of Kyle Laletta?
Because I was eating my lunch, Dave. No, you work Nazi.
I was eating my lunch at Potbelly, and I was watching YouTube clips. Because I like to be informed, and I care about the podcast. And I need to know. You know? I would never just watch a random YouTube.
That guy played football an hour for me, and I've never watched him. I've heard good things.
His arm's a little bit meh.
Noodly.
He's got a little bit of noodle. So that's where we are. Like he.
Hey, I could go for some Garrett Grayson 1.5.
So we got the tight end, we got the receiver. So he's at 134. The thing is, that's the thing. The Saints aren't going to be picking again until like. I mean, I don't think they'd go. You can't go receiver again. And
why not load up?
And the offensive line, and they got Toby Weathersby from LSU. He's 146.
Let's take the quarterback. Let's gamble on the small school kid.
Yeah. All right. So now we'll have two picks in the fifth round. This draft,
if nothing else, if this Richmond kid gets Tom Savage cut a little bit quicker, then he'll have the worst of picks.
I don't even want to see Tom Savage take snaps in a preseason game.
That's right.
I will admit it.
If we cut the Richmond kid in a couple years, but he allows us to not suffer through Tom Savage preseason, it was worth the pick.
Yes. You know what though? I like the names Ralph couldn't pronounce draft better, just on the players. This draft, I really DJ Moore. I like Hayden Hurst, but DJ Moore, I don't know. His YouTube clips aren't as exciting. Although I think it's because one of his YouTube clips is set to like.
YouTube clips
is like it's not great music. You got that's the key to get
it. Never is. It never is, man.
You got it. Well, the cat's the key. You got it. They got to be set to. If they're set to good music, they got a good beat. I'm like that player's pretty good. So we're on the clock. So Antonio Callaway, Florida.
You got to name positions here.
Wide receiver Kiki Kutwa. Is that how you say
Kiki,
his name?
Kiki Kuti.
He's there. We got running back Josh Adams, running back guards.
We need an offensive lineman, man.
Skylar Phillips. Yeah. Can he play both? Or I never even heard of him. I don't like the name Skylar.
You didn't watch his YouTube?
I don't watch offensive lineman YouTube, Dave.
Who's the best offensive lineman?
The best one is Skylar Phillips.
From where?
From Idaho State.
It doesn't matter where.
Wait. What position though? Guard, tackle, guard.
Guard. Brandon Parker. Brandon Parker. If you like your small school, historically black colleges, NC.
Well,
that's
how we
NT.
Got. Teron Armstead was a small college man.
Yeah. Cole Madison. That's another guard.
Who's the best tackle?
The best tackle is Brandon Parker.
Is that a major reach or?
We're at pick. Let's see. What pick are we on? We're at pick 147. He's 159.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Take the tackle.
All
right. Yeah,
that's good. Brandon Parker, come on down.
Brandon
Parker. Where did he go to school?
He went to North Carolina A&T.
Oh, that's perfect.
So
look at I'm looking at him right now. 6'7", 314. I mean, he's got Zach.
That's a big boy.
It's Zach Street meets Teron Armstead written all over him.
Yeah.
That is one big boy.
All right, so we're on the clock for the final pick because we only did five rounds. So we got tight end Durham Smith from Notre Dame.
We got a tight end. We're good at tight end.
We got a guard, Tony Adams from NC State. We got a name, Joe Noteboom. I like that name, Noteboom.
Oh yeah, he's a guard, right?
He's a
tackle. Yeah, yeah.
Or this is a good one, Tijan Koroma from BYU. Can't believe we didn't pick him in the names Ralph can't pronounce draft.
Taysom Hill came from BYU. Just saying.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do we got? What do we got here? What do we need? What do we need on offense, boys?
I think we go guard, don't you, Dave?
Isn't that what we just took?
No, we need a center. Let's replace Max Unger with a, or at least have a replacement.
That's the name we got. We got Tijon Caroma from BYU.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Look, just go with the best player available, BPA.
The best offensive player available is Marcel Aitman from Oklahoma State or Tony Adams. He's a guard from NC State.
Can't you just take a pass rusher?
No.
I know you're
No! It's all offense. We can take a pass rush next week when we do the Let's Break Saints Twitter draft. We gotta
Is Node Boom still available?
What does he play? He's available. He's a tackle. You want to take another tackle?
Yeah.
Dave, are you feeling tackle?
I'm down with the
I like
the
you know, I like
you can never have too many linemen.
So we lost Zach Strief. We've got no one. I mean, Bushrod's a guard now.
Yeah, I think Bushrod making the team is
suspect at best.
Suspect at best.
Take another tackle. Boom. Node boom.
So
done.
So this is our draft. We got DJ Moore, Hayden Hurst, Kyle Laletta, Brandon Parker, Joe Noteboom. That's the all offensive draft. I don't loathe it, but I'm not really excited. I'm just, you know.
Dude, DJ Moore is going to catch 50 passes. Note boom. The last guy picked is going to start like 12 games and be awesome. He's going to be tackle eligible and catch a touchdown, guaranteed.
And the Saints will be 3-13.
And Tom Savage will get cut, so you're going to love the rookie quarterback.
I'm excited.
And Hayden Hurst will blow out his ACL and never play.
I am very excited. Right. I'm very excited in 2020 to watch Kyle Laletta lead Saskatchewan to a CFL title. That'll be fantastic. So that about wraps it up. We got fun stuff coming up. We got Eric Galco. We're going to do a special podcast with him. And then next week, we have the Draft Extravaganza, where we do the draft that will break Saints Twitter. We'll discuss it on group text all week and try to come up with a scenario that'll just either make Saints Twitter euphoric and it'll break, or sad and it will break. But we'll think of some scenarios. Either way, it's breaking. Like, we don't know if it'll be crazy. It's probably going to involve some sort of insane trade.
Oh, we're trading up. The only thing I can guarantee is that we will not be picking 27th overall.
Well, the thing is that you could make Saints Twitter euphoric is you could trade if we could somehow finagle a trade down. That would make him euphoric too. So there's all kinds of options for next week. So, thanks to everybody for offering their services for better and improved graphics and their constructive criticism. We appreciate that you care.
Even Ralph's cat wants the logo to be changed.
Yeah. We appreciate that you care so much about the show and gave us your feedback. That about wraps it up for today. So for Dave, for Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.